So, just as an introduction, just really briefly, the gathering was pretty amazing yesterday. So having spoken to a couple of people, Monet spoke about the presence, priesthood, and purity. Just a quick summary, if you weren't there, Andrew shared a little video, which I'm sure will go out possibly, and he was focusing on surrender, total devotion to Christ, which we talked about coming through that theme of dying to live, remaining in him to be like him, and obeying all of his commandments. And then Dan spoke about dying to live, actually, and surrendering everything. So that was kind of just some of the themes that came through. And this week, obviously, there's just been such a actually amazing flow of God, just listening to the testimonies, what God's been doing. It feels like the Holy Spirit's really doing something and listening to our prayers. He's moving. And last week, I don't know if you remember Dylan's preach. It was only a week ago. But he spoke about what? You guys remember? Remaining or being in Christ, in, if, and out. In, if, and out. Here we go. Okay, so, but it's about being in Christ. And one of the fruits of being in Christ is actually the joy of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to be talking about joy, which is kind of a follow-on to being in Christ. So, yeah, I'm really trusting that actually God is going to unlock joy. So I'm going to try and keep this really short and just make space for God to actually work in us. There might be something required of you as well. I don't think he's just going to impart joy. So it might be challenging, but it's going to be awesome. So let's trust God together that he's going to do something amazing. And it's him doing it. So, yeah, there's three little points that I'm going to touch on. And the first one is the source of our joy. So where does joy come from? How can we remain joyful in difficult and testing situations, in suffering? And then what is God's purpose in trials? All right, so where do you think joy comes from? From God, yeah. Nehemiah 8:10, we can put that up on the board. I'm just going to highlight one little part. It said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Okay. For the joy, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And whose joy is it? It's the joy of the Lord. It's not our joy. So it's actually something apart from us. So I've really emphasized that it's the joy of the Lord. And it's something that's imparted through the Holy Spirit. It doesn't just come from us. We can't just conjure it up. So God is, he's the definition. He's the source of joy. He's actually, he's perfect in his joy and his character. And it's his joy that flows through us. And it's his, it's not our own strength. We can't just make joy happen. So 1 Thessalonians 1:6, you can put that up as well. There are quite a few scriptures today, guys, which is, it's a record for me. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. So there again, we can see the Holy Spirit is the conduit that gives joy. Joy is from God, but it's given through the Holy Spirit. He imparts joy to us. Then 2 Corinthians 8:1, we can have a look at that. 8:1-3, 2 Corinthians 8:1-3. It says, and now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. So it's interesting, the key thing I highlighted there was the grace of God. So if we access the gift of grace that God has given us, in our trials, if we actually realize that, God, it's your grace, that actually helps us to flow in joy. It's not something that we can create by obeying a bunch of rules. It's actually something that God gives. God gives us grace. That's how we actually come to know God. It's through faith. It's by grace through faith that we get to know Christ, that we get to have a relationship with him. All right, so that's the first thing. Joy is from the Lord, eh? And it's imparted by the Holy Spirit. Then the second just key thing is, as part of that is we need to have a trust in God. We need to be humble and have a childlike trust. Matthew 18, verse 3 says, then I said, I tell you the truth. Unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you'll never get into the kingdom of heaven. So there's a sense that actually to know God, to become strong in God, we need to become weaker in our own flesh for him to have his way in us. And in a sense, joy is something, it's childlike. It's actually realizing that we might all look like adults here, but once upon a time we were children. I actually looked at, as I was walking along the beach, I actually realized we're actually just big kids. And the things of life, it might have got in the way. There might have been hardness or experiences or disappointments, but deep down inside, we're actually like children. And I saw this little child actually come on the beach this morning. He kind of walked, he was a stranger, but he put out his hand towards me. And it's amazing how children that we don't even know would actually reach out, and they do trust adults. And it's the same in church. Have you noticed how children, if you love children, or if you're a kid magnet in church, which I think I am sometimes, maybe probably not, probably in an irritating way, but I'm a bit persistent with certain people. So, but actually, that's how Jesus wants to be with us. He's like persistently pursuing us and asking us to come to him and be like children. So, yeah, so it's that idea. It's that attitude of going like, actually, I'm actually just a child. And we just need to trust Jesus. That's the key thing. Romans 15, verse 13, guys, this is up on our toilet door. It's incredible. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that kind of actually encapsulates a lot of what I'm saying here today, is that actually it's the core thing is trusting God. It's not something that we can conjure up. So, and as we trust in him, that joy, those fruits of the Spirit come, the joy, the peace, and the hope. It flows through the Holy Spirit. All right, so remember so we're still talking about where joy comes from. All right, so I'm just splitting it up into a couple of little sub-points. So point three here is joy is rooted in our salvation. So do you remember once upon a time we did give our hearts to Jesus, eh? Do you remember that day? For some of us, it's more recent than others. But Psalm 51:12 says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit that to sustain me." So, you know, sometimes we actually forget that we were saved. Like, we think we were born saved, but actually we weren't. We were once far from God. We weren't great enough. We were nothing spectacular or amazing before we met Jesus, but he made us incredible, and he's busy making us more beautiful. And it's a choice to actually remember. It's actually remembering God, like, what did I used to be like? Lord, if I've forgotten that salvation, help remind me about that, because there's joy in our salvation. There's like, you know what, I was like this once, but look where I am now. It's encouraging. We've come a long way. Sometimes we think we haven't come far, but when we look back, I saw some pictures of Dylan and Heike in Deer Park the other day. But I knew them way back, and I look back and I go, yes, God, you've done amazing work. yeah, it's amazing. I mean, like, I have to just think back to where I was. I mean, I was a mess. I was a schizophrenic. I literally had schizophrenia. I was searching for identity. And in that place of looking for identity, looking for God, I actually was baptized. And that's when everything changed. I buried myself. I made a choice to bury myself in that pool. And when I came up, I was a new creation. I was a new Julian. That old Julian had died, and that new person came up. And I just thank God. I do honestly thank God. I'm not perfect. It's taking a long time. It'll probably take me till the day I die to become a little bit more perfect. But only when I get to heaven will I be perfect, as he is perfect. So he's chiseling away at me, guys. I'm still a work in progress. All right, and I think that's the important thing to remember, is that salvation is not just that one-off event, but it's a lifelong process. And it's about coming back and going, God, like, restore that joy to me, Lord. I'm saved. I'm not perfect, but you're making me perfect. And he saves us from our sins daily if we will repent, if we actually go, God, you know what? I'm not perfect, and I'm sorry that I messed up. Don't you get convicted every day? Yeah, I was convicted today. It said, let your gentleness be evident to all today. And I was like, yeah, God. I was so not gentle when Gabe was driving in the car. Luckily, he's not here today. And luckily, who was driving with us? Somebody, Hilda, yeah, she's not here either. Okay. Shantz was, oh, she is here. Yeah. Hilda, thank God that you're in the car with us. There would have been some colorful language if you weren't. No, we kept it tidy. We were like, oh, God, this is stretching. Anyway. But yeah, Gabe's learning to drive, by the way. So, and I'm not the best. Normally, Shantz is the teacher. He does go for lessons, which is probably a wise thing. But anyway, so I'm not the first choice co-pilot. It's not a good combination. Anyway, okay. But I need saving, guys. Every day I make mistakes. All right. So, Luke 10 verse 20 says, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Hey? So that is a cause of joy. It's like, God, like you've written my name in heaven. So where we set our eyes, guys, have we set our eyes on this earth or is it on heaven? It's so easy to get caught up in the here and now about what bills we got to pay, about the end of the month, the next month, about sickness, about cars breaking, about all these things. But this is just a momentary blip in eternity, guys. We're going to be with Jesus. So how cool is that, eh? It gives us faith to go through our trials. We'll talk about that just now. Okay, so obeying his commands. That's the fourth thing. If you love me, you'll obey. If you love me, you'll obey me. Eh? Dan mentioned that. If you love me, you'll obey me. If I love my wife, I'll obey her. I'll listen. It's maybe not the best analogy, but I will listen to, I will do what she asks me to do because I'm in love. Eh? And in a sense, it's the same with Jesus. Are you in love with God? Okay. The one translation actually of Psalm 51 verse 12 says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you." So it's a willing obedience of Christ. Okay, so I'm just going to skip through those. All right, so the second thing is, how do we find joy in suffering? How do we find joy in suffering? Okay, so suffering is a difficult thing to deal with, eh? And has anybody managed to remain joyful at all times in their suffering? I don't think many. But we do live in a world where we expect everything to go well. Like, everything must run smoothly. If we get sick, if we get a headache, we pop a pill. If you get really sick, we've got hospital plans. We can go to a doctor, and we shouldn't die, hopefully, if we've got a good doctor, okay? But, unfortunately, life doesn't go according to that, and we can't insure for every fear or circumstance that might go wrong. And we need to leave space for God. I'm not saying we shouldn't get insurance or we shouldn't pop pills. What I'm saying is... What I'm trying to say is that pop pills, for headaches, guys. We can't eliminate all the risks, okay? There are some sicknesses that only God can heal, all right? I mean, we've had a sister that she went to be with the Lord, Susan, recently. We pray. There were doctors can only do a certain amount, but actually we had to pray. We did anoint her with oil, but God in his wisdom chose not to heal her on earth, and she went to be with him forever. So, yeah, life is hectic, guys, at times. People die. I mean, it happens. Okay, so, but what's our attitude in that suffering? 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you." Don't be surprised if trials happen, guys. Expect trials, ordeals, and sufferings. It's part of the one, it's a fringe benefit of being a Christian. Okay, so James 1 verse 2, this is beautiful. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." So when they come, How are we seeing it? What's our attitude? Are we considering it pure joy? Okay, the Lord brings tests for us to pass. Satan brings us tests to fail. He wants to trip us up, but God actually wants us to get through those trials with him, with his strength. All right. So, are you ready for those things? Mark 10, verse 29. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one has left home or brothers or sister or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, remember that, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. So, how are we living, guys? Are we living, are we dying to live? Are we living, putting down our lives as a living sacrifice? It's tough following God, eh? You might not be able to stay in your current home. Do you realize that? As much as you love your home, hold it lightly. Hold your possessions, your cars, your money lightly, because God might ask you to give that up. He's asked us multiple times, guys. We've actually moved 3 times for God, at least. Andrew, when I was in PE, Andrew planted Josh Jen. I was there with him. I didn't move straight away, but I felt God stirring me to move from PE to Cape Town. When Thorin was born, he said he wants us to move. Andrew wanted to plant communities in Sea Point, and he asked us. We felt God saying, you need to move from Melkbos to Sea Point to plant a community. That grew into City Bowl. And then he asked us to move again, more recently, from Pinelands to Wynberg, and then from Wynberg to Musenberg. So we went from Pinelands to Fishhook. We've actually been all over the show for God. We're never static. I've lived everywhere. But the incredible thing is we haven't failed to receive properties, friends. We have. Eh? We've actually, God's given us houses and persecutions and hardships and opposition. Okay, so it's hectic. It's fun. It's awesome, but it's hectic as well. So, don't be surprised at those things. But God has given us weapons. What weapons has he given us? Any ideas? Okay. Worship. So when those frustrations and disappointments and crises come, what does the Bible say? 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always, pray continuously, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So, are we staying in God's will by rejoicing and praying and continually and thanking him in all circumstances? I hope so. I don't always get it right, guys, but that's what we're aiming for, eh? Even when things are hectic, guys, even though the fields, I love this in Habakkuk, let's just read this. So I've got a lot of scriptures. Habakkuk 3:17-18. Though the fig tree does not bud and no fruit is on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though the sheep are cut off from the fold and no cattle are in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Hey? How many times have we looked at that? The bank account's on zero. Hey? It doesn't seem like there's more work coming in. We're freelancing. Hey? The car's breaking. We're getting sick. What's going on, Lord? But we have to choose. We have to rejoice. We have to go, God, I'm going to worship you. Get a playlist. Get an anti-heaviness playlist. A worship, like shouting in the shower, get a waterproof Bluetooth speaker, hang it in your shower if you have to, and worship there. Okay, guys, or put on headphones if you've got a poor taste in music, or if you're, or if your family, perhaps your family doesn't share your taste of Martin Smith played at full volume. Okay. All right. Isaiah 61 says, three. He wants to pour out an oil of joy instead of mourning, eh? And a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Okay, sorry. Oh, how do I stop that? Sorry, guys. Hold on. Okay. Oh. Sorry. Pause. Okay. All right, so the third thing, and this is the final point, and then we're going to conclude. So, you got that? Sorry, guys, I just tried something new on my computer. I was making a noise. Okay. Number three. What's God's purpose in trials, guys? What's his purpose in trials? Do you think he's a cruel God? Do you think he just wants to make our lives miserable and walk around like Christians, like, Life sucks. No. 1 Peter 6, verse 7 says, trials come to strengthen your faith, which is more precious than gold. How cool is that? So our faith is more precious than gold. Whew, it's so awesome. So the analogy is, it actually goes back to the days when they would make gold by hand. They would actually stir, the refiner would stir that pot, and it would be under high heat for a long time, and those purities would come up. And he couldn't see, he only knew that that gold was pure when he could see his face reflected in the surface of the gold. Huh? So when the impurities came up, he couldn't see his face clearly. But when it was clearly seen, he knew that the gold was ready. It was perfect. And that, my friends and my comrades in the Lord, that is what God is doing in us. Huh? Fellow countrymen, that is what Jesus is doing in trials. How awesome is that? Okay, he's purifying, he's forming his character in us. He wants to purify so we can reflect his image perfectly. All right, knowing that our God, he's close to us in that fire, guys. He comforts us. That gives us hope. He's sovereign. He's in control. We can see him there stirring that pot of gold. He's with us through the trials. He hasn't left us. He might feel like he's in China, but actually he's with us. All right, and I mean, I can share testimonies of this last while. I mean, it just feels like one trial after another. It feels like from the fire to the frying pan to the fire to the to the skottle to the to the poikikos pot to the braai. It feels like, yes, Lord, just keeping that heat on with all different heating instruments. Seriously, it's not even a joke. I had two operations back to back. November, December, literally 1 month apart. My Christmas present was my urologist telling me on the 19th of December that I have to go for an emergency operation. Like, that's not really... it's not something you really want to hear, but anyway, I said, okay, well, it's better getting it done now. At least I can start the year in one piece. So, and there were many times, guys, like, just moments of physical suffering and just, I mean, it wasn't that bad, but it did feel bad to me. I was so frustrated just lying in bed. I hate lying in bed. And my flesh just took over, and I was like, yes, this sucks, Lord. And I felt far from God. I actually felt like, I felt like in a bad place from God, actually. But I had to get to the place where actually I just realized, Lord, I need you. I actually need your presence. I need to come back to you. I need to start reading my Bible more. Because it's just me and my flesh is just an ugly thing. The trials actually got me to the place where I was like, okay, Lord, I'm all in. I'm actually dying to myself. I'm not dead, but I feel a bit dead, but you're going to heal me. You're going to get us through this. It was just nonstop stuff. I mean, the whole family's been at doctors. We hardly ever go to doctors. All four of us have been at doctors. Shanta is going for op on Friday. Our doctor's bills are like, I don't even want to work them out. the car broke, like literally, car got fixed, came back the next week, went in again, broke, went, broke, thorn broke down in the car, got towed home. It was just like, okay, Lord, my gosh. God is preparing us for something glorious, yeah. So that's the point, guys. He's preparing us for an eternal fellowship with him one day. That is the awesome thing. Like, if I take my eyes off that reality and just look at how life is sucking, I'm not going to get through. I'm not going to have the strength to actually carry on. But so that is the challenge. Are our trials bringing us closer to God? That is the purpose of our trials. All right, so we're going to conclude, and then we're right at the end. So do you remember, what did I talk about? A lot of stuff. Okay, so the first thing, the source of our joy. There's four aspects. God gives us joy. It's through the Holy Spirit. It comes through humility. It comes in a place, in an attitude of humility and trusting him. It's rooted in our salvation. Joy is rooted in our salvation. And obedience to his commands unlocks joy. So as we obey his commands, they're not burdensome. It actually brings joy. So the second thing, is joy possible in suffering? Is it possible? It depends on our attitude. Consider it pure joy, my friends. And he's given us weapons. What are weapons? Prayer, thanksgiving, and worship. And why is God taking us through these trials? Point three, he's preparing us for heaven. How cool is that? All right, so maybe we can just, I'm going to ask for a response, but it'll be cool to just to pray and just see what God wants to do. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, you're awesome, Lord. Oh, thank you, God. So the first group of people that I felt God just highlighting is, have you lost your joy? Have you got out of alignment with Jesus? And Monet shared this beautiful picture. He just said, like, there's remembering to align your tires is one of the most difficult things to do if you own a car. And they say you should align your tires every 10,000 Ks. But we live in roads that are bumpy in South Africa. And even if you align your wheels, like they told me this week, if you just drive out of Tiger Wheel and Tire, you could hit one pothole and your tires are out of alignment. They took my tires off and I saw the inside, the tire looked good on the outside, but on the inside it was basically bald. And the reality is, if we're not examining our lives every day, going, God, am I out of alignment with you? We actually get to the point where our tires are worn out. We look down at our tires, the tires of our life, and we see, man, there's bits of steel sticking out of here. This is not good. I'm going to have a blowout. This is dangerous. If I blow out, this car is going to roll over. So, yeah, really just felt for us. Maybe there could be people here that are actually have unrepentant sin, perhaps. Maybe there's things that are actually blocking their relationship with God, that blocking that flow of joy. And it can be sin. It can be things that we haven't brought into the light. So I just want to encourage you, if that is you, if you're feeling like, man, like I think there might be some things that aren't pleasing to God. Perhaps you even think you're actually doing fine, you've got no sin, but I'd encourage you, sit with your spouse, sit with your children, chat to a leader or somebody more mature in God and go like, is there sin? Is there something in me that's not pleasing to you? Even ask God. David prayed, he said, search me, O God, know my heart. See if there's any way in me that is offensive to you. So there may be people that are in that camp. Have you lost your joy? Have you lost alignment with Jesus? And then the second group of people I want to just speak to is maybe you've never experienced true joy. In Acts 16, it said the jailer, when he got saved, he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, him and his whole household. So, yeah, maybe there are people here tonight even that have, you've never come to know God. And that is the thing that is going to actually unlock joy in your heart, is actually having a relationship and getting to know the living Christ, Jesus. Accepting his forgiveness for sins and saying, Lord, I'm yours. I want to give my heart to you. So there may be people like that as well.